The views and opinions expressed here are those of the guests and are not the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I extol those who with loving care and compassionate concern feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and house the homeless. He who notes the sparrows fall will not be unmindful of such servants.
The Mormon Channel now presents Faith in Action.
We are here with Dr. Drew Kuhn, a member of the LDS Church, who is a doctor of dentistry. And we appreciate very much that he's taken the time to come and share his special story with us. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, and then why don't you go ahead and start to talk to us about how your life in dentistry led you to this unique service opportunity.
Appreciate being able to be here and talk about some things that are really important to me. I was born in Cardston, raised in Edmonton, and those are towns in Alberta, Canada. I went to dental school at University of Alberta in Edmonton, met my wife Joanne while going to school, and we joined the armed forces, and they put me through dental school, and then I owed them 5 years and had some great experiences in Ontario and then in central Alberta.
Wow.
Then I started my private practice back in 1981 in the little town of Three Hills. Three Hills is a evangelical Christian community. 19 years later, I was serving as a stake president. I'd served for 8 years as president of the Red Deer Stake. I was on my way to our stake center to for some meetings, and on the way, I had a head-on collision with a truck.
Oh.
So I had my left leg pushed through my pelvis and into my kidney and liver, and they thought that I would not live to see the light of day.
Oh, my.
I look at experiences like that and I say, well, why? And the reality is there's really no adversity.
Yeah.
I mean, at times it feels like adversity, but they're just opportunities. I went down to southern Alberta into Raymond, built the dental practice there, despite what the doctors told me that I should and should not do.
Wow.
And while there, they had a Rotary Club. In Three Hills, there was no Rotary Club,
mm-hmm.
So I joined Rotary.
Okay.
And yeah.
What is Rotary, just to explain that?
Rotary International has clubs throughout the world. There are 1.3 million Rotarians throughout the world.
Wow.
It's a wonderful organization. The thing I like about Rotary is that there's a very good feeling about their belief in God and their belief that they can serve humanity. They would get various professionals in different areas and they would rotate
really?
Into various homes.
Oh.
But one thing they always did is they recited, and we do today, every meeting we recite the four-way test of the things we think, say, and do. One, is it the truth? Two, is it fair to all concerned? Three, will it build goodwill and better friendships? And four, is it beneficial to all concerned? So to be among people that have those ideals is very rewarding.
So the Rotary Club opened up these other opportunities for you to serve then?
I always planned on going and doing service, I assumed, in South America or the Philippines or somewhat place like that.
Mm-hmm.
I had supported through membership and through donations dental missionaries serving in South America.
Okay.
And I assumed that I would be a part of that.
The Academy of LDS Dentists, is that what they do? They go and give free dentistry to people who can't possibly afford it, like South America and places like you said?
One of the first objectives of the Academy is professional excellence. We have some of the top instructors throughout the world come to this conference and train us to be the very best we can possibly be. So professional excellence is number one. And then through that professional excellence to serve other people. I'm able to rub shoulders with people from the Academy that have been doing service in South America, in the Philippines, throughout the world. And I feel like, wow, I am so privileged to be with them.
It seems like you were almost set up for this service project in Uganda.
Well, I don't believe in coincidences. I do believe that the Lord leads us in paths that produce miracles. And I used to believe that the Section 4 of the Doctrine and Covenants was a missionary scripture, but I believe it's a scripture for every day, for every member of the church. I wake up in the morning and I think, now behold, a marvelous work is about to come forth among the Cahoon family. You know, we've got opportunities that that are just amazing. And then to look further and say, you know, if you have a desire to serve God, you're called to the work. And then, you know, I mean, you couple that with Alma 32 when Alma tells us about having faith, and he says, you just got to start with the desire. And if you have a desire, then faith will grow. And then in DNC chapter 4, he says, and faith, hope, charity, and love with an eye single to the glory of God qualify you for the work. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
And you know what? I'm glad that you bring that up, because that's the whole point of this show, is that we have people like yourself, and there's many around the world who have taken that to heart, who have faith, even just a desire to believe, and then they'll take that faith and make it into action. As the show is called Faith in Action, they have that desire to serve, like you said, in Section 4 of the Doctrine and Covenants. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about your faith in action. Tell us about the beginnings of the Uganda Service Project.
The Service Project in Uganda is an ongoing project, and it has spilled over into Rwanda now. And so it will be a project that I plan on being involved with the rest of my life. But it started with some dental service. It opened up to opportunities to become involved with the Uganda Dental Association, with the Makedede University, and then building a dental school. How it started was back after my accident and after I joined Rotary, a fellow by the name of Steve Levitt was just immediate past president of the Rotary Club in Raymond, and he had just started a project of gathering books for Uganda. I became very involved in the project. We gathered 20,000 books for Uganda. And as we were gathering, I'm thinking, holy mackerel, these books are in English. I can do English. And so I got excited about the possibility of going to a country that I could speak my own language, because I don't know Spanish or Portuguese. And so South America was a little bit foreboding for me. But to go to Uganda was exciting, and that's when I invited my daughter, Wendy, to be a part of Rotary. She joined Rotary, and together we started planning to go to Uganda in February of 2005.
Now, when you were planning, was your plan to be there for the rest of your life, as you said, or was this just, you'll go to Uganda for a couple years, help out there, and then I'll move on to maybe another English-speaking country? What was your plans when you started?
To tell you the truth, I had no idea. I just knew that I wanted to be of service. That's where the miracles start happening, because once you have that desire and you make a commitment to go and be of service in a country, then I got on the phone with communicating through email and then by phone with a fellow by the name of Ken Chapman. He's an evangelical Christian missionary that's been in Uganda. He's a dentist, and he's been there for 25 years.
Wow.
I told him that I would be very interested in coming to Uganda, and could I help out at his clinic that was at Mango Hospital? He said, well, I don't think so. He says, but Drew, do you do any orthodontics? And I says, well, I've been doing orthodontics steadily since 1983.
Yeah.
He says, really? He says, well, maybe we could use you at the clinic. He says, let me tell you, I've gone to South Africa, taken some courses in orthodontics, and started several cases. And he says, frankly, I'm over my head. Would you be interested in seeing some of these cases and helping us with them? I says, I will commit to coming there several times. So I will be there and I will help you through some of those cases.
So you went to, you had plans to go there in Uganda to go help there with orthodontics. So then what happened after that? What was the next step in this whole adventure?
What is absolutely amazing, as I see people come to Uganda and to Africa, something takes hold of you. It's amazing that so many people that go there, they say, you know, it gets in your blood. While we were doing dentistry at Kareka, Home for the Mentally Handicapped, a news group came. It was their national television, and they took pictures of us doing dentistry within mainly extractions and examinations within the school. And then they interviewed me afterwards. And I found myself committing on national television to come back twice a year for the next 5 years. And I kind of turned around and said, did I just say that out loud? Because I had thought it, but I had never vocalized it before I vocalized it on national television.
Tell us more about Uganda itself. For those who are listening, take us there. What's it like?
It is an absolutely beautiful, hilly, wonderful country. Okay. And the people are amazing. I tell people, dentists that come and work with us, if you don't fall in love with the Ugandan children, you are heartless. They are absolutely amazing individuals.
Now, when you say Uganda and Africa, the only type of contact that I would ever have would be in a National Geographic magazine or on a History Channel or something like that. Tell us more about what it's really like there, okay, rather than just the pictures that we see.
Well, I mean, first of all, the children, if you see their smiles are just absolutely captivating. You walk down the street and they will walk and they'll sort of look up at you as you're walking down the street. And if they catch your eye, then if your eyes meet, then they will just smile broadly. They don't speak to you until they're spoken to.
Wow.
And so you'll say hi and then it just opens the gates and they want to know why you're there and what you're doing and all sorts of things. If you have a camera, can you take my picture? And then you show them the picture that they've taken. If you have a soccer ball and you give it to one of the children, well, then the whole community has a soccer ball. It's,
wow,
it's for everybody.
Wow.
They share. I mean, just something as simple as when I do an examination, I take off my examination gloves. I always turn it inside out, blow it up, and tie it and throw it in the air. Well, that'll entertain 20 kids for 20 minutes, you know. And I just love the children of Uganda. At church, you go and you see the most well-behaved children. They are just wonderful. They're a very religious people. You go and you see on the street, there'll be a water truck, and it'll say water truck. And then up below it, it will say something like, but seek the fountain of living water. Yeah, in schools, you'll say, God, you'll see little markers around the school. God is love. God forgives. God loves chastity.
Really?
You know, the time in their schools.
So then after you've been there and you've gotten settled down in Uganda, and your main service project was with a school. Is that correct?
I had the opportunity to visit with the Minister of Health. And I just said, you know, here I am. I've come to help out in Uganda, and I really don't know where to go. I promised the Ugandan people I'll be here for 5 years, for twice a year. And what would you? Is there anything that you can give me guidance on what you feel I could do that would be significant? And so he took me to Makerere University, to the dental school there. It was a school for the dental assistants. Now, these dental assistants are basically hygienists that have extra duties, that they can do small fillings and do simple extractions. And so I walk into this school. It was built by the Danish government back in 1968, and the equipment was state-of-the-art then. But now, in 2005, only 5 of the 41 chairs worked.
5 out of the 41 chairs that are working. And what are your thoughts when you see that, when you see only that working?
First of all, you think, how in the world can you possibly train dentists in this setting? It To me, it seemed impossible. I got a tour of the facility. We went and looked at the compressor. The compressor was inadequate. The vacuum system did not work, and so they had to, the chairs that did work, they brought suction apparatus for the chairs that worked. The chairs were in various positions, and they would, that's the only position they could be at, so that the student would kind of pick a chair that was sitting in a position that they could do whatever they were going to do for the day. Most of the things that were being done were extractions, because that's about all they could do. We went into the see the X-ray equipment. The X-ray equipment that was there would have been outlawed in North America. You know, if you went to get an X-ray, they could probably see your tooth in the X-ray, but they also probably sterilized you and maybe irradiated and permanently. They were just horrendous facilities, and the development. I mean, everything was just. It was quite amazing to me, what was there for a dental school.
Wow. So take us then, you've come into this building, into the university, and they want you to meet with this faculty leader there, mm-hmm. or one of the faculty staff there, and they haven't quite told you that we want you to help us. At what point did you go from just coming to visit with the faculty leader to, I need to do something here?
Well, as soon as I saw what was there, I knew that I had to do something.
Yeah.
You know, if not me, who, and if not now, when?
Mm-hmm.
And so we went into Dr. Mwazi's office, and Dr. Okulo is head of the Department of Dentistry. And we just, as we sat there, I said, you know, if you could dream, if you could just imagine the school and what we could do together. I says, I can't make any commitments today, but if we could dream and say, okay, what do you envision? What could we have if we had our wish of the dental school? And they said, well, okay, we need new chairs. Is it possible that could we get 5 new chairs?
Just five chairs.
Yeah.
5, that's all they wanted.
Well, that's all they could imagine that anybody could actually provide for them.
That is absolutely amazing. So we have these big, huge dreams that we set our sights on. And for this Ugandan faculty member and someone who had probably been working there for a long time and been in dentistry a long time, his dream, the highest that he could imagine, was 5 chairs. If we could just get 5 yep. chairs.
That's where we started. And I said,
wow.
Well, Dr. Mwazi, we're dreaming. if we can dream 5 chairs, can't we dream 10?
Yeah.
He says, oh, is that possible? I says, well, if we're dreaming 10, let's look at 20. Let's put our neck out. How do you feel about your X-ray equipment? Oh, I feel sad every time we go and take an X-ray, because I know that we're harming our patients. It's just not safe equipment. Well, then what did we dream? Oh, could we have a couple of X-ray heads that would work and be the state of the art? What about a panoramic X-ray equipment? You think we could get a... I says, we're dreaming. Let's dream. What about your sterilization equipment? What about compressors? And so we started dreaming this dream together. And we kind of got excited. And I says, okay, when are we going to make this all happen? And they said, what do you mean? I says, well, let's start planning our grand opening. Grand opening? I says, well, let's put it all in the dream. Let's put it in together. When are we going to have our grand opening? He says, could we do it in 10 years? I says, I don't have 10 years. You know, I says, I've told everybody I'd come for 5, and I want to work in the new clinic. What can we do within that 5 years? Do you think we can have a grand opening in 2.5 years? Let's make that grand opening for August 2007. And he says, that is impossible. You're talking Africa. I says, you're talking a dream.
Yeah.
Let's dream big. Let's have our grand opening. Who's coming? Let's plan the grand opening. So we talked about inviting President Museveni and the Minister of Health, the Minister of Education, have all the dignitaries there, the Rotary, somebody from Rotary International, and different things. So we got dreaming this dream. What amazes me is, you know, miracles take place after the trial of our faith. We had a dream together, but we had no way of financing the dream. And so as we left that office, I was burdened by the thought, how am I going to come up with this money now?
I would think that would be the first thing. It was, as soon as you leave and after the excitement is kind of worn off, you'd go, what did I just do?
Mm-hmm. So I went to Elder and Sister Shaw, humanitarian missionaries in Kampala, and I said, do you think the church has any money that they could help out with this project? And they said, oh, we'd love to, but we're drilling wells, we're doing so many other things. I just don't think that we have money for the dental school. I'm sorry. But we'll check into it. I got home from Uganda, told my family, hey, you know, this is our dream. 2.5 years from now, we're going to have a grand opening. And I says, we better get going. We need to raise some money. So I went to Rotary International and I said, you know, do you have any money for this dream? You know? And they said, no, there's nothing available. And then I got an email from this group called Dentate. They'd been doing dental service in Africa and developing countries for about 15 years. And they said, you know, we'd heard about you and that you're going to build some dental school here in Kampala. Tell us a little bit about it. So I typed out my dream and sent it to a fellow by the name of Luke Wordley, who is the CEO of Dentate. And then I got a letter back from Luke that said, what a wonderful thought to be able to go to Africa and build a dental school and have all this good equipment. And I thought, wow, he loves what I'm doing. And then he basically said, but you're nuts. You know, it can't be done in Africa. You know, we've been doing it for 15 years, and we know that you're bitten off way more than you can chew. So is there any way we can help? Well, at that point, I'm pretty discouraged. My daughter, Ashley, who was in high school at the time, she came to me and she gave me $50. And she said, Dad, I believe in you, and I'll contribute more. So that was my start.
You're $50 from your daughter.
From my daughter.
Wow.
Then I got a phone call or an email from the Shaws. They said, we think that we can get $10,000 from the church to be part of your project. And just bear with us. Then Elder Woolsey from South Africa in Johannesburg, he was over the humanitarian work at the time. I got an email from him. He says, tell me about your dream, you know. So I wrote him and told him what we wanted to have happen. And he said, I think we can get you $15,000.
Wow.
We're going to take it to the area presidency and see what happened. Well, I don't know how it happened, but I got a letter from the area presidency committing $25,000 to the
project.
Even
more than you thought.
That $25,000 bought 3 x-ray heads, and that's intraoral x-ray heads, mm-hmm. and 1 panoramic x-ray. They have the finest x-ray equipment in Central Africa. And
just
it's donated.
Just from that, donated.
By the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Now, you were talking just a little bit that we don't receive blessings until after the trials of our faith.
Well, to tell you the truth, I was either naive enough or had enough faith or a little bit of both. I never questioned that it was going to happen. I knew that we were going to have a dental school. Whether it could happen in 2.5 years, I wasn't 100% sure. But I knew we were going to have a dental school and that we were going to be able to contribute significantly to the equipment there. I got an email right about the same time from Rotary International. They said, because 2005 is our 100th anniversary, we're going to give you an opportunity to apply. In other words, there's an application that you apply for the application to get what they call a 3H grant.
Okay, which only comes around every so often, is that right?
And,
wow, okay.
This is, you're late at getting it, we're going to extend the deadline, you've got 2 weeks, get in this application.
Wow.
So I put in the application, they said, we like what we see, now you have a month to get a final application in, and that's hundreds of hours of putting this together.
Yeah.
So I put it together, and after a year, they came back and said, we're awarding you a grant of $333,000.
And then you've got the $25,000 mm-hmm. from the church. You've got the $10,000 from the Rotary Club.
Yep.
And the $50.
Yep. I started writing dentists and friends and people in Alberta, and the money started coming in. It was doubled by the provincial government. They have grants that if you raise the money in Alberta, we got another $25,000 from what they call it, the Wild Rose Foundation. Then, I mean, if you just talk about miracles happening, yeah. I'm just communicating with this fellow that had gone, his name is Jeremy Pryor. He's a technician, a dental equipment technician from Victoria, British Columbia. He had been in Africa, and he had helped set up that equipment for Dr. Chapman.
Yeah.
And I told him, you know, I need somebody to set up the equipment. When we get there, are you interested? Interested. I would love to do that. And so he donated his time and labor to go to Uganda and do that. We had this letter from Dentaid. Well, Dentaid, they offered to come down, put on a course so that we could have sustainability of the equipment. They trained 12 Ugandans to be equipment technicians so that, number one, they could help with the installation, and number two, they could be hired afterwards to maintain the equipment for the next 10 years.
Is there anyone else that donated their time, talents, money to helping build this that we haven't mentioned?
There are so many miracles that it's hard to even put it into perspective. I had a fellow that came up to me. He was one of the deputy ministers. And he saw me on the street, and he came over and he says, aren't you Dr. Cahoon? I says, yes, I am. He says, I've been wanting to talk to you. He says, this year I was supposed to be receiving a new vehicle because I'm a deputy minister and I get a vehicle every 5 years. He says, because of your project, I had to volunteer that I will forego getting my new vehicle so that your building could be renovated. That happened, I don't know, about 10 times. So that they rerouted money that was designated for vehicles, for renovating other schools, for different things. And sure enough, about $250,000 was allocated to the renovation and upgrading of the infrastructure for the building so that we have just a beautiful facility there in Kampala at the Makerere University.
We've been talking with Dr. Cahoon on the Mormon Channel here about his service project in Uganda. As it's getting closer to the grand opening, what was the feeling? Was everything in place and it was smooth sailing, or was there any more trials of your faith or ups and downs, that type of thing?
I think every step of the way was, you'd go, how do we go from here? I'll give you an example. Once I convinced the Ministry of Education that they were going to renovate the building, and they knew that it was going to be a significant amount, I said, it'll be over $200,000. I don't know what it would cost. And they said, so you go and you get me an accurate estimate of the renovation. What is it going to take, etc.? Well, I'm a foreigner. That was on a Friday, and I was leaving the country the next Thursday, and I was supposed to find someone that I had no contacts or anything. I was supposed to find someone that will go and give me an estimate of what the renovation is going to take place. Well, on Sunday, I went to the Kololo branch there in Kampala, and on the stand was a fellow by the name of President Odonga. And I'd seen him before. After the church meeting, after sacrament meeting, we went and we're talking a little bit, and I found out he was president. He was one of the members of the mission presidency. He was second counselor in the mission presidency, and I happened to be serving as second counselor in the mission presidency in the Canada Calgary mission. And so it was kind of an exciting visit, and we kind of compared things. And he asked me what I was doing there, and et cetera. And I says, well, I've got a real problem. I says, I don't know. Let me tell you what I've done. We're going to be renovating the dental school at a place they call it Mulago, and I'm supposed to have an estimate of the costs for the government, for the ministry, by this Thursday before I leave.
Mm-hmm.
I says, that's impossible. I can't do it. Have you got any ideas? He says, he laughed. And he says, do you have any idea what I do? I says, I have no idea what I do. He says, I'm a physical facilities estimator or whatever for the government.
Wow.
He says, what I do is I go into old buildings and tell them how much it will cost to renovate.
Wow.
He
just
says,
you placed need it. In your lap.
Exactly.
Wow.
And so I says, well, I mean, it can't be done by Thursday. He says, you're right, it can't, but we'll do it.
Wow.
And so Tuesday morning, he went in there, spent the day. All day Wednesday, he's figuring. And before I left for Canada, I got this estimate that was ready for the Ministry of Education, telling what renovations needed to be done and how it was to be done and
wow.
the cost for. So, I mean, just little miracles.
There
are huge miracles all the way along.
That seems so simple in our minds, but my goodness. So you've had all these just miracles, and miracle after miracle after miracle. You originally dreamed 5. How many did we end up, or how many did you end up with?
We ended up with 20 new chairs, plus we had Dentaid, that group that had called me and said, there's no way you can do that. They now said, let us help you to renovate some of these old chairs. That's what we do. We go into third world countries and we take their old equipment and renovate it, make it so that it'll work. And so they took, there was 40 some chairs, and they took several of them and they took parts from one and they renovated. So we had another 15. Then we had 10 that were made in Uganda. Met a fellow that he says, I can make you a chair that there's a new technique that we're going to develop for Uganda called ART. It's been around for about 10 years now, but in Uganda it's new. It's an atraumatic restorative technique. And that technique, you don't need all the fancy chairs. You just need a flatbed. And so he made us 10 more chairs so that
wow.
the reality is we have basically 45 chairs that we are working with.
Even more than when you what you started
no
with.
No question.
Wow.
Then
wow.
we also, the other miracle is having Dentaid come down and put on a course for us so that we could train our own dental technicians. The miracle of having Jeremy Pryor come from Victoria to Uganda and going into the dental school, and we kept saying, okay, the equipment will arrive. The equipment will arrive early. He had already booked his time. He arrived in Uganda, no equipment.
Oh.
We were panicking, frantic. We were trying to trace where it was. We had an assurance from the government that it wouldn't be hung up at the customs. We went all through this thing, found out where it was at customs, got it there, and 2 days after he arrived, all the equipment was at the university and were ready to go. So in the next 2 weeks, they set up all the equipment. They had it all ready to go. The infrastructure was in place by the Minister of Education and their development. It was a miracle. There was, when it was finished, they had just finished. Jeremy went back to Canada, and we're ready for the grand opening.
So August 3rd, 2007. Who was there, and what were the feelings of the day?
Well, we had so many preparations. The government declared the week prior to August the 3rd, Uganda Dental Education Week, Dental Awareness Week.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Jinja, and we did some things. We were on television. We did some things in preparation. We had a course teaching the instructors at the dental school this new technique called ART. And then on the 3rd, we have the Minister of Education, Minister of Finance, the District Governor for Rotary International. We have all the dignitaries. And guess who people focused in on? President and Sister Christensen, our mission president and his wife,
wow.
and Elder and Sister Bean, the humanitarian missionaries, came in. And as we walked around and toured the facility, and we walked into the X-ray department and showed them a piece of X-ray equipment that is nowhere. I mean, I think that was the 3rd one ever to be in Uganda and the 1st one that was brand new.
Wow.
Here it was at the facility.
Just
and
at the facility there.
They turned to the President Christian and said, you donated this? to our school. And so on the plaque outside, unfortunately, they spelled them things wrong, but it says, this is in recognition of the contribution by Rotary International and the Church of the Latter-day Saints. They left out, so we have a little work to do to get that sign changed to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But now they're there, and every one of the dignitaries that spoke, including me, I was asked to speak at the grand opening. But every one of those dignitaries, the Minister of Health, Minister of Education, the Minister of State, the District Governor for Rotary, who is over four countries of East Africa, they all turned to President Christensen and said, "We'd like to thank the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints for their contribution to our dental school." So it was a win. Everybody won. It was a great experience for the church, for humanitarians, for Rotary.
Was it a sigh of relief when everything was done at the end of that day? When your dream was accomplished, did you just go, we did it?
Sort of.
Yeah.
I realized how much more we had to do. So I felt the relief that, yes, we had fulfilled the first part of the dream. Now it was getting dentistry to the people. And that's why we started the project that is called the Rotary Dental Outreach Project, going to the schools and doing dentistry within the schools and doing it with Ugandans and doing a filling for about $3.25.
So then you had mentioned earlier that you have work in Rwanda now. In fact, you're going there soon. Is that in the next couple of months?
I'm going in January of 2010.
The night of August 3rd, 2007, to now. How did you get from there to now all of a sudden going and doing this work for Rwanda, for the Rwandans?
Every once in a while, when we're putting on this course, I'd see this fellow that waiting in the sidelines and saying, I need to talk to you. And I kind of kept putting him off. And finally, somebody came and said, "Do you know who this fellow is?" I said, "No." And they said, "That's Dr. Muhumusa." "Okay, who's Dr. "Well, he just has started a new dental school in Rwanda." I says, "Oh, really? And he's here specifically to see you." "Oh, well, okay, I'll make some time." And so we sat down for what was going to be 10 minutes but ended up an hour and a half and talked about, he says, "Dr. Cahoon, we have prayed that you would come to Rwanda. Would you please come and do something similar to what you've done here in Uganda?"
Wow.
And I really don't have the time, and I've already designated India as my next project.
Yeah.
I will be going to India in 2010, not to Rwanda. Please just come and look at it. Come and look at our facility. Come and talk to our school. And just, if you've got sometime. I said, "Well, I'll give you 2 days because that's all I had." So I flew to Rwanda and had an incredible experience, spiritual experience, speaking to the faculty and students at this brand new school. They haven't graduated. Their first graduate will graduate from their school March of 2010. Oh. I will be there to help them set up their program outside the school. But in talking to the faculty and students, there was a bond immediately that happened when Dr. Muhumusa came up and he said, "Paul Kagame is the president of Rwanda. He has been the one that's been picking up the pieces since the 1994 genocide. And so he says we need to have 100% vision into the future. As you talk about your dreaming a dream and your vision of our future, we just feel like we're a part of something so significant. Please come back and make us a part of your dream. Help us realize our dream." And so that initiated what was going to take place. And we're going to teach a course. We're going to contribute some equipment that I wish I had the information about the equipment that has been donated by non-members out of Washington that donated some brand new dental equipment.
Wow.
I think we've got 7 units that are going. They only have 2 units in Kigali, in the Kigali Health Institute, where the dental school is. They have 2 dental units, and they're training these people to be dentists on them.
Wow.
Now they will have 7 more.
That is absolutely amazing, all of this that has happened. Tell us a little bit about the man that you are now compared to before you got involved with this type of service. What change has been wrought on you?
Okay. That's an interesting question, because I got asked to speak at a conference in Raymond not too long ago in my home state.
Okay.
I was at the time a member of the mission presidency, but they asked me to speak on dealing with adversity,
mm-hmm.
recognizing that I'd come through a pretty bad accident and had a lot of things that I had to deal with. But my talk basically was, I don't understand what adversity is, because I don't look back at my accident as being something that was negative.
Mm-hmm.
It was something very positive in my life. It changed my direction. I was having some wonderful experiences as state president in Red Deer and doing, but it opened a new phase of my life that I would never have dreamed of in Three Hills, Alberta.
Hmm.
But in Raymond, Alberta, becoming involved in Rotary, having the 4-way test of the things we think, say, and do become a part of my life. Is it the truth? Is it fair? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and better friendships? And is it beneficial to all concerned? To have that incorporated into my Mormon philosophy and my desire to go out and serve a mission someday, this is my new mission. And
wow.
It's a great opportunity. It is just such a rewarding experience to be over there, to see the unselfishness of these children. They're beautiful experiences that we have, to be able to rub shoulders with former mission presidents. We've had bishops that have come over and taken time. Wonderful, wonderful people from the Academy of LDS Dentists that participate with us in Uganda. And I feel so blessed to be a part of that. That will be my focus for the next 10 years.
If you don't mind, if you could share some final thoughts, maybe some thoughts or feelings that have come to your heart as we've been talking. And then I'd love to hear your testimony at the end.
Thank you. Well, as I say, basically what we have here in this life is time, and we have relationships. And if we use our time effectively and develop the relationships meaningfully, then we're ready to be ushered into the kingdom of heaven. And I am so grateful for the church that gives me an opportunity to serve others, to share with others meaningful experiences. My experience as a state president was a wonderful experience to teach ordinances and to hold the keys in the Red Deer Stake. That was a phenomenal experience. But getting into charitable service, not from assignment, not from anything, just because I wanted to go out and serve my fellow men, has meant so much to me to develop those relationships with other people that are going and sharing in such great, meaningful ways of that I don't really understand. But I do understand the meaning of the atonement. I understand that we can forgive each other. When the Lord said that, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors in the Lord's Prayer. And he says that if you want to be forgiven, forgive others. Each day, as I get up and I recite the fourth section of the Doctrine and Covenants and say, now behold, a marvelous work is about to come forth in the Cahoon family. And I look at the importance of faith, hope, charity, and love with an eye single to the glory of God. I recognize that the only way that I can really be effective is if I recognize that that universal atonement will change the lives of so many people, the people around me and my life, and so that I can go out in a day and look at people without judgment, love them, and appreciate that their souls are in the hands of the Savior. I appreciate the gospel. I appreciate the church giving me opportunities to go and do those things. And I appreciate being able to share that with you.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Dr. Drew Cahoon about his service in Uganda, and it truly has been an inspirational story, and look forward to hearing a follow-up with the work in Rwanda as well. And we again appreciate his example and appreciate him coming and spending some time and sharing his story with us. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it.
You have been listening to Faith in Action on the Mormon Channel.